worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, joined in studio today with Victory McIntosh. We hope that you'll stay tuned with us as we grow in our knowledge and our understanding of how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now by faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word teaches and teaches us that you are love, Lord. And thank you for the fact that you've called us and out of the world and into a new relationship with you and a new relationship with one another. And you also told us in your word that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So we, because by your grace and your mercy, are your children. And we too can walk in the love that you provided for us, Lord. Help us to grow today in understanding of what it means to walk in the love of God. And help it fill us today with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of love. And empower us to be a people that walk in love and express it through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do. Help us to live a lifestyle full of the love of God. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today again. This is the Hour of Intercession. Good to have you with us in studio, Victory McIntosh. God bless.
Thank you. You would call me on Single Awareness Day. Thank you.
Oh, is that what it's called? Okay.
Some people call it Valentine's Day, but you.
Okay. Well, happy Valentine's Day to all of our listeners and Single Awareness Day as well.
Single Awareness Day.
If Victory says so.
Okay, hey, representing then. All the single people. We waiting.
Victory, today, you know, we're going to be looking at the topic of love, relationships, marriage, and sexuality, a Bible point of view.
Amen.
And, you know, one interesting thing, a truth about this set of topics is that this topic grabs everybody's attention.
It does.
Young folks, old folks, and all in between. Because, again, it's a big part of life in our whole existence.
Yes,
and it's
sir.
An important part of life. The Word of God really has a lot to say to teach us about how we honor God in the area of relationships, sexuality, marriage, that sort of thing. So we'll be looking at these topics today. And, you know, you and I have had the opportunity, the privilege of being able to serve as volunteers with the Empower program, which is an in-school abstinence outreach program then. And you've really enjoyed being a part of that ministry, haven't you?
I love talking to those babies. I call them babies, even though they're teenagers, and some of them are taller than me. But I absolutely love it. We talk about... We talk about sex, and we keep it real. And we, of course... We promote abstinence, and this is one thing. They, of course, because we go into public schools, we're not supposed to mention Jesus, but I'm not going to lie to you. I can't help but to bring them up. If I lose my job for it, so be it. But because you cannot talk about sex and not talk about Jesus. You can't talk about abstinence and not talk about the Word of God. And we get in. I mean, you know how it is. We show pictures of STDs, sexual transmitted infections, then sexual transmitted diseases. And I don't like to... I kind of do want to scare them in a sense of, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. When you sin, you're opening yourself up to so many things, to diseases, to heartbreak, to, I mean, and so our goal with Empower is we're trying to help guide you along the way, because it's normal to like someone, have feelings, but it's all about channeling it and controlling it.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, one scripture that I would say is the foundational scripture for our topic today comes from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. And I think of this as being one that really is something for some to look forward to, but for others to be honoring God in the way they live out their life. It says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. The clear counsel of the Word of God is that the sexual relationship is to be reserved for husband and wife in the married relationship. But it's important to know, too, that's a positive message, because remember, God's not trying to limit us. He's trying to set us free.
Come
and
on.
He wants us to live the best life we possibly can. And so we find that by reading the Word of God and following His wisdom and His word. Because, again, the Bible lets us know marriage is ordained of God.
Right.
And, of course, marriage is between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, no one else, because, again, God is the one who ordained it, and He defines it.
Amen.
And so anything else really is not marriage. You know, when it, two men, two women, that's not really marriage, even though people would want to try to call it that. But the beauty is it's something to look forward to,
right,
and it's something to honor God. Again, the Bible lets us know that man is to leave dad and mom and cling to his wife. They're to be one flesh. That's what the Word of God says. So reading that verse again, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Again, there's a lot in this one verse. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Mm-hmm. So again, a very important truth to remember is that marriage is ordained of God. There are many that are listening that are husbands and wives even as we speak. But then there are those persons that are looking forward to being a husband or wife one day. Well, again, it's good for us to look to the Word of God to help prepare us and to guide us in looking forward to being the kind of
Amen.
Husband, the kind of wife God would have us to be. And again, part of that is keeping ourselves sexually pure mm-hmm. until marriage. So as we look at the topics that we'll be focusing on today, Victory, it's good for us to know the Bible's full of counsel about this.
Yeah.
You know, so... You know, sometimes you have people that may say, well, you know, I've never heard a sermon or a Bible study on the topic of relationships or sexuality.
You need to find another church.
Well,
that's what I mean. Like, come on. This needs to be discussed.
It needs to be discussed. And again, it's a huge part of life. It's a very important part of life. And we need to honor God in this part of our life, because to not honor God can cause all kinds of problems.
Right, right. And, you know, Jesus tells us in John, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And one thing I tell the kids, and I don't mind sharing this, I am 27, and I've been saving myself for 27 years, still am. And the kids are always like, man, how do you do it? And I tell them, I am human. I want some. But because I love God, and because I'm intentional about living out this relationship with him, and through his help, also you have to be mindful of who you encounter with, who you date. I've never been
That's
one
right.
to date a knucklehead. You know, mm-hmm. knuckleheads do approach, but I don't play that. Because this is the thing. When somebody loves God, and when two individuals both love God, not only will they too have a goal set to remain pure until marriage. They'll do it not to please you because they know that's your view, but because they love God themselves. That's another thing I look for.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord revealed to me, and I think I mentioned this to you, Pastor Parker, with this being single Awareness Day, mm-hmm. Some months ago, that I had started idolizing marriage. Like I said, I'm 27. I don't mind telling my age. And man, I was in two weddings last year, back to back. Never ever do that, y'all. I mean, literally one weekend, the next weekend I was in another one. This year I'm in two more weddings, and they're two months back to back. But the Lord revealed that to me. And so a lot of times when people are, I'm trying not to get off topic, but when people feel lonely, especially mm-hmm. on this day,
that's right on topic, Victory. It really is.
Yeah. When people feel lonely and they're like, man, everybody's getting all these gifts. Like one of my dear friends just sent me a picture. Her boyfriend sent her a big old Valentine cake, you know? And I was a little salty, just a little bit. I'm like, she know the business.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a sign that you need to get more focused on kingdom work. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, Paul tells us, if you are unmarried, devote your life pleasing the Lord. This is how I put it in Victory's term. Devote your life doing kingdom work. Because it's amazing when you do that, and it helps channel those emotions. God gave us emotions. Yes, you know, sex is appealing. I mean, we live in this flesh. But being focused on the things of the Lord, discipling, that's another reason why I got into Empower, to teach these kids about waiting until marriage before having sex. Man, it's amazing. Like, I mean, there are times I think about my honey bunny whenever he comes, but it doesn't consume me as it used to.
And that's important, though, to keep in perspective, because, again, you know, it's great to, as believers, to understand the Ten Commandments is a wonderful tool to help us to both stay on target, to know what's important and what's not. And, of course, one of them is we're to have no other gods before him.
Preach,
well,
Pastor,
you know, this is one of those realities that all of us have to be careful of idols, creating idols in our lives, every one of us.
Pastor Parker.
And we all need we need the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to keep us from doing that, including in the area of relationships, because it's easy for a girl or a guy to idolize the opposite sex, and sometimes their idols, husbands and wives, can set up within their marriages as well. So we all have to really carefully seek the Lord to help us to walk in wisdom in all the areas of our lives. So that's one more reason why we need to stay in the Word every day, to be prayerful every day as well. And that's another reason why praying the Ten Commandments is so helpful. So when we pray each commandment, amongst other things, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. The Holy Spirit knows how to help us to put God first. He knows how to help us to not steal. How to help us to stay away from sexual immorality. He knows how to help us in all these areas. So it's a wise tool to help us. And as parents, we need to help our children. You know, children need a lot of guidance. A lot of help, a lot of direction. That's why a program like the Empower program is so important, because it does help give young people counsel and guidance in a very important part of their life.
And can I say this, Pastor Parker? Mm-hmm. I thank God for you. My mother and I were talking about you last week behind your back. It was good. And my mom was saying, she said, I was listening to Pastor Parker's program. She said, I never thought about praying out the Ten Commandments. And because I've actually been doing a study on idolizing, because, like I said, the Lord revealed to me I started idolizing marriage. And I said, Mom, I said, Pastor Parker, I said, he talks about that all the time. And so we're now beginning to implement praying out those Ten Commandments. Thank you for that.
Well, you know, Victor, I appreciate you mentioning that. All of us should do it, because, you know, I really am of the opinion that we need to understand we need a lot of help, all of us.
Yes, sir.
Even people that, you know, when we sometimes consider ourselves maybe somewhat spiritually mature, we still need a lot of grace every day. And so we're wise to say, Lord, help me to put you first. Mm-hmm. Because amongst other things, the Holy Spirit's being released to help us. We need help. And one of his names is the Helper.
Amen.
Why is he called the Helper? Because we need a lot of help.
Yes, Lord.
So it's good for us to pray and ask God for the help we need, like with a tool. And, of course, it helps us in the area of sexuality as well. Because temptation is all over the place.
Everywhere.
And human beings will be tempted from the womb to the grave.
People shouldn't
think, when you get a certain age, you're not tempted anymore. If somebody's alive, they can be tempted. And so we should all trust God in all areas of life, including in the area of love, relationships, marriage, and sexuality. And as parents, we just really need to teach our children so much more about relationships and sexuality, because the devil's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And one of the ways where he devours our young people is in the area of relationships and sexuality.
Yes, sir.
So we really need to help our kids in that area. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us as the church to give our children, our boys and our girls, guidance and direction. And thank you for the opportunity as the church to give counsel to all of us, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Help us to know, Lord, that the young people need guidance, but the adults need guidance as well. And all of us need the wisdom, the counsel, and the insight that only your word can give us to help us to know how to honor you in the air of relationships and sexuality. Help us to be wise men and wise women, wise husbands, wise wives. Help us to be wise dads and wise moms who guide, mold, and counsel and pray for our children on a daily basis in every area of life, including this important area of relationships. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking at the topic of love, relationships, marriage, and sexuality, a Bible point of view. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening. Shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening. Encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Throughout Scripture, we find passages in which people who have lost God talk about Him. The Philistines were giving Israel a hard time, and the sons of Eli decided that the Israelites should carry the Ark of the Covenant into battle. They figured the Ark was where God dwelt, so if His throne went with them, He'd be there too. Not. They failed to realize that just because they carried the throne, it didn't necessarily mean that they carried the Lord. We must have a personal relationship with God. Viewing God as an abstract is always dangerous. Even His own parents traveled a whole day before they realized that Jesus wasn't there. Regardless of where you travel or what you do, nothing should ever replace His presence. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came. And even second times around, happiness could not be found until love came. I was left all alone.
My heart was breaking.
Thought was my
soul
own.
Was aching.
Tears covered me.
We've been through the whole night.
And I need some relief.
Joy comes in the morning.
Been searching for
many years now.
The keys to life's door.
Need to know how.
Brought to my knees.
Savior, can you help me?
And was led to believe.
I'll tell you, I was too
but
mean.
His love showed me love said not so. Even with the odds against me, love showed me love said not so. Without a reason or cause, peace and joy placed on pause until love came. Having no hope at all and not a loved one to call until love came. I was left all alone.
My heart is breaking.
Thought was my
soul
own.
Is aching.
Tears covered me.
We've been through the whole night.
And I need some That's what he told me. He told me not so. Hey.
The music of BB and CC Winans, the song Love Said Not So. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Grateful to have with us in studio today Victory McIntosh as we look at the topic of love, relationships, marriage, and sexuality, a Bible point of view. And as we're looking at this topic of Victory, you know, one of the things I think about is it's so good for us to know that God's Word, again, is a reliable guide. You know, we mentioned the scripture, Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But also, just throughout the Word of God, I think of, for example, the book of Ruth is a love story. The book of Song of Solomon, too, is a love story as well, with much insight, guidance, and direction to teach us about love for God and love for your mate as well. And, of course, Ruth is a story about, well, you know, in fact, in a sense, you could say, especially chapter 3, you could entitle chapter 3, How to Get a Husband.
Come on, you know, a because, rich one, too. I'm just
and, but the beauty behind the story of Ruth is the story of a woman who, at the beginning of the story, basically, as you look specifically at Ruth, she was a widow early in life, but she put her faith in God and threw herself into loving God and loving and taking care of her mother-in-law. She was seeking the kingdom of God. And at the beginning of the story, she's doing the job that sometimes often poor people would do. They would glean in the fields. By the end of the book, she owns the field. She's married to the richest, one of the richest men in town.
Won't God
strong,
do it?
Strong bachelor who he was a bachelor until she married him. But one of the most eligible bachelors in town, that's who she married. And he's one of the richest guys in town,
come
too.
Come on, Lord. Come on.
And not only does she marry a rich, strong man that loved God, God puts her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And so the beauty of one of the powerful things about that story is that God knows how to take the broken pieces of our life and make a masterpiece out of it, a wonderful love story and a wonderful life story as we seek first the kingdom of heaven.
Can I tell you one part I don't like about Ruth's story, though?
Okay.
And I know you bring this up to me. You've brought it up to me before. Mm-hmm. Even back then, men were slow. Like, she had to go beneath his feet. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, dude. You know what I mean? Like I don't like having to give a hint. You need to do, the Bible says a man that finds one. That's the only part I don't like. I mean, she still got the man, but that's the only part I didn't mm-hmm. like of the story. But
well,
hallelujah.
You know, the fact is we live in a world where as we look,
they
as
slow.
We follow the word of God and the spirit of God, God can help us fix all those problems, you know. So
right.
she did follow the Lord, and
yes,
the Lord helped
did.
Her in the end. So she got married, became a mom, and got was placed in the genealogy of
amen,
Jesus. So
amen.
It still ended up happily ever after. So praise
I just wanted
Lord.
To bring that up. Yes,
yeah.
sir.
But also the book of Song of Solomon is a powerful, wonderful love
that
story
is.
That has lots of insight. Also, it's a powerful story, but also has much of much truth in allegory in that book as well.
Yeah.
But also, it deals with the blessings of keeping sexuality within marriage. And I think of this, for example, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The things that we learn about from them from marriage about marriage is powerful too. Because, for example, Abraham and Sarah had a beautiful love relationship, but at the same time, Scripture doesn't hide some of their faults. You know, Abraham trusted God, believed God for some big things, but he would lie to people and tell them that his wife was his sister. And that was not honoring to God, and that caused him some difficulties.
Ooh.
Also, Sarah suggested that he take a second wife to try to have children. Well, again, they made some big mistakes.
They did.
And it caused problems for them, and it caused problems for subsequent generations far beyond them as well. So we learn lessons as we look into the Word of God at what people did right and what they did wrong as well.
That is so true. You know, I was reading last week, 1 Samuel, help me, Holy Ghost. What's the guy with the long hair? Samuel.
Samuel.
I was refreshing my memory on that gentleman. Samson. Thank you, Sherry B. Samson and Delilah. Delilah was the prostitute, right? Not the prostitute. The woman he slept with and sinned.
Well, he got in trouble with Delilah.
Delilah
got him in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sherry B. I was refreshing my memory on it. And I was just, when I was reading it, I thought, man, it's just, it amazes me how, like, there's nothing new under the sun. Like, the same sexual sin that is occurring today was prevalent back then. And I'm pivoting a little bit back to Empower. You know, there are people who say with this generation, you have to come at them in a different way, you know, something catchy. I don't believe in that. When I go talk to these kids, because some of these, the girls, we, of course, women speak with the young ladies and guys speak with the men, speak with the guys mm-hmm. at the schools. And these girls, I just give them truth. I don't do nothing fancy. You know, I don't sing a tune. You know what I mean? Like, because the Bible tells us the word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And pardon me. And like, some of the girls sometimes end up finding me on social media pages and asking me questions. And I have one young lady, which to this day I will never forget her. She wrote me a letter. I was shocked that she wrote a letter, because nowadays these kids are all about texting and stuff. But mm-hmm. she was telling me how she said, I now want to wait till I'm married before I have sex. Thank you so much for telling us the importance of waiting. But I wanted to bring that up, though. It's just how the same things that we go through now, it's the same back then. Because some people
human
tend to
nature is the same.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Some people tend to think, no, it's everything's not the same like it was back then. Yes, it is. It is.
You know, trends change and circumstances change and styles change. But human nature is the same.
Yes, sir.
And God's word is just as relevant today as it was when God first had it penned. And we need to know that it's always a reliable guide for every generation. There is no generation for which it doesn't apply. God's word applies to everybody. Mm-hmm. So we need to hear it and obey it. And here's why we need to so really look to the word of God, because it tells us what's true and what's not true. We live in a world full of lies, where people are mm-hmm. lied to through media, through customs, through trends. The lying, deception is all over the place. But God's word teaches us what's right, what's wrong,
absolutely.
what honors God, what doesn't honor God. And I think of even, you know, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which you could call the love chapter, which lays out, you could say, God's portrait of love in the word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Well, you know, God's love is agape love. That's unconditional love.
Thank
you know, but
Jesus.
We live in a world where often people, what they call love, what they're often saying is, I love you because. And they may say, I love you because you're pretty. I love you because you give me money. I love you because you're nice to me. I love you because you make me laugh. I love you because you give me money. I love you because you loan me your car. All sorts of because things.
Something I did.
But that's not real love.
Right.
Because real love is not conditional. You know, real love, the agape kind of love, the love that comes from the heart of God, says, I love you, period. It's not because of something you do. It's I love you for who you are. And that's the kind of love God wants us to exhibit in the way we carry ourselves and in all of life as well. And so shouldn't be conditional.
Amen.
But at the same time, too, we need to be careful of, you know, the word infatuation. It's when people
are just
kind of enthralled and caught up when they see somebody. And sometimes a person, like, say a guy sees a girl and he thinks he's the most beautiful person he's ever seen in the world, and he all of a sudden, sometimes he'll say, it was love at first sight.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe he talks to her and she cusses him out and she decides, well, I guess I wasn't in love after all. Well, see, that wasn't love anyway.
No.
You know, as unromantic as it sounds, genuine love is not based on emotion. You know, it's important to know, too, emotions go up and down,
right.
They're in and out. You cannot trust your emotions. And the fact is, many people live on their emotions, and that's why they live in so much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't base life on emotions. You're to base life on the wisdom and the grace of the Word of God and the wisdom that God gives us. And even when it comes to love, as unromantic as it sounds, love is to be a decision of the will. You know.
Yes, I totally agree.
We really have to understand that, and it's not like something you fall into and you fall out of it, you know. So it's important to know. It is. And it's important to know that we need to use the wisdom and the grace of God to make decisions, though, because I think of this. I paint this picture, for example. Say you have a young couple. They maybe don't know each other a very long time, and they decide that they're going to get married, and they get married. Well, typically, when a couple gets married, it's pretty normal. They have a bonfire of love and emotion for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
that dopamine.
The bonfire eventually dies down.
Right.
But now, if in their minds, if they think the emotion is the love, and when they realize it's dying down, they may think, well, we don't love each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a wrong perspective to begin with, because emotions come and go. They go up and down. They're in and out. But love is a decision of the will.
Absolutely.
And it's one that we make a quality decision by the grace of God. I'm going to love and care for this person. And it brings to mind, I remember years ago, this young man from another country, he shared, he said, "You Americans love the women you marry, but we learn to love," in other words, he said, "You Americans marry the women that you love, but we learn to love the women that we marry." And now an important point that he makes is that we can choose to love a person.
Absolutely.
And sadly, though, people choose to love somebody and they choose to change their love as well. Well, again, our will, our commitment and our will is supposed to be involved in this important process. And
absolutely,
God helps us to do that.
And I love how you said it's an important process,
right?
Because I know I've said this before on the Jesus Jams, but when I was at Rhema, they used to tell us all the time, who you marry can make or break your ministry. Because everybody's ministry is what God has called you to do. People tend to think a ministry is behind the pulpit. No, your ministry, if it's working at McDonald's, you better do it and do it well. But I, when you were getting on Infatuation, oh my goodness, woo! I have dated some beauty challenge brothers, but because they had a heart of gold, and I know somebody may be like, "Why ain't I together?" Because that wasn't who the Lord has for me.
Right.
But I will say this now, Pastor Sparker, I do want to be, I want to like what I'm seeing a little bit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But there are some people who they just solely go on that. Like, I know of a young man right now, great guy, loves Jesus. Single, 35. And I'm going to tell you why. Me and my mother, we've tried to hook him up with, because we know him, with some lovely women. But because they didn't look a certain way. And I told him one day, I said, "Bro, you're going to be single forever if you continue this way." Because it's the thing. This outer appearance will deteriorate.
That's
why you got to love the person from the inside and marry your best friend. This whole infatuation. And then, you know, with the media and everything, especially for women, this whole contouring your makeup. I don't even know if you know what that is. It's nothing but cake and makeup on your face.
Okay.
That's why I don't like to wear a whole lot of makeup. I mean, I like my lipstick or whatnot, but like, be who God created you to be. You are fearfully, beautifully, and wonderfully made. You don't have to do all this extra stuff and plastic surgery and just, oh my gosh, it's the inside that counts. You want somebody who loves God with their whole heart, and they're willing to go over and beyond to obey God. If they love God, they'll love you.
And, you know, it's just good to know, too, that, like, again, you're to seek first the kingdom of heaven. And I think of this, too, you know, Victor, sometimes I talk about this. Parents should teach and train their children to bring their faith into everything they do, including their dating life. You know, just like, for example, they should pray on their dates, for example, and read the Word of God as well. And now sometimes you may hear somebody say, "Well, that'll ruin my date." Well, no, in reality, it'll make it a better situation.
Amen.
But the fact is, if praying on your date runs that person off, good riddance.
Peace.
Didn't need them.
Okay.
You know, because it'll run off the wrong kind and it'll track the right kind.
Amen. Pastor Parker, can I tell you, when I went to the University of Mississippi, I'll never forget. I've always been one of those to say, when somebody asks me, "How are you?" I say, "I'm blessed." Anyway, so one day I was at a restaurant with a group of friends of mine, right? And one of my guy friends, because this guy approached me and whatnot, and he said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "I'm blessed."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he walked off, and my friend guy said, "Victory, I really believe that he did that because maybe it's a little bit too much." I said, "Bro, let me tell you what this does. It distinguishes the weak men, the weak boys from a man of God. It distinguishes the two. And you should want somebody who's bold about Jesus. This is a lifestyle we live." I'm sorry, but
that's,
I just wanted to share that when you brought that up.
But no, that makes a good point, because again, as believers, we don't ever need to apologize for referring to the Word of God.
He's my daddy.
And the will of God. Yeah. And so the fact is, that's who we are. We're children of God, and so we should never be ashamed of that, and shouldn't ever apologize.
Because the Muslims
aren't
ashamed. Buddha.
Sadly, that's true. So, but we're coming up on a break. We'll pick up there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says, even though we share a common destiny, God doesn't turn out cookie-cutter Christians. What balances those two extremes? We'll find out today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In football, you've heard me say, there is a rule book. The rule book gives the rules. And the rule book is the same for every team. Every team has the same rule book, except the Patriots when it comes to the balls and airing the balls, okay? But that's another story. Every team has the same rule book, but not every team has the same playbook. And they will adjust plays, change plays in the middle of the game based on how the game is going. Playbooks are adjustable, rule books are not. The Bible is God's rule book. It's the same for everybody in this room. It's non-adjustable, and it doesn't adjust based on your background, history, personality. No, it's the rule book. But God has different playbooks for everybody in the room. And what he has for you is different than what he has for me, but what he has for both of us will never be outside the rule book. So God gives us the rule book of the Bible, but he gives us the playbook of the Holy Spirit. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead you within the rule book with God's special guidance for you, because he has a different play he's calling for you. That's why you can't try to be me, because then you're running on my playbook, which means you're scoring touchdowns for me. And you need touchdowns for you. Therefore, there has to be a relationship with God and intimacy with the living word based on the written word, so he can call plays and so you can hear them in the speaker of your soul.
You can read hundreds of Dr. Evans' best stories in Tony Evans' book of illustrations. Check into getting a copy today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Of Fred Hammond, the song Give Me a Clean Heart. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk, joined in studio today by Victory McIntosh as we look today at the topic of love, relationships, marriage, and sexuality, a Bible point of view. And Victory, as we finish this last segment, we're looking at Proverbs chapter 5. This is a chapter that's interesting in the Word of God, that if you read this particular chapter, and if this chapter in chapter 7 in Proverbs, if you were to read these and say, for example, read them out of a translation like the Living Translation, and you don't tell someone what you're reading, many people would think, where does that come from? They don't realize it's in Scripture. But God, in his love, is willing to tell us some pretty direct truths about avoiding sexual immorality. Proverbs chapter 5, starting at verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell, lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and body are consumed and say, how I've hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountain be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with the love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For time reasons, I'm going to end right there. But this particular chapter talks about the problems of being sexually immoral in the first portion, verses 1 through 14. And verses 15, towards the end of the chapter, talk about the blessings of keeping one's sexuality within the bonds of marriage. And basically, the person in the first part of the chapter is being described as one who's immoral. They're going in wrong directions. They're following Satan into sexual immorality. And eventually, this person, it points out, they catch a sexually transmitted disease and they're dying. Mm. And that's the tragedy of that kind of lifestyle. And then it talks about the blessings of keeping one's sexuality within marriage, starting at verse 15 to the end of the chapter. Powerful chapter to really read and study for men, for women, and for parents. That's to good. Use it as a tool to teach our children as well. And, you know, as we look at this topic, this last portion of our time, Victory, I think of this. It's so important for us to really, as the church, to make it a priority to really teach our young people, and to be honest, our young people and our adults too, a lot more about relationships and sexuality, because again, it's a huge part of life,
right.
And it's an area of life where lots and lots of people get themselves in trouble, because it's a great area. It's a slippery slope. If you follow temptation, it can get you in all kinds of trouble. Well, if one asks, well, what kind of problems does it lead? Well, the fact is, when people are involved in sex outside of marriage, it leads to problems such as, for example, pregnancy at an unexpected time. Often young girls end up pregnant when they're not married, and often the young men will say, well, it's not my baby, or it's not my responsibility, I'm too young. Well, he got her pregnant, but he wants to take no responsibility. Mm-hmm. Well, again, if they'd waited till marriage, again, many of those problems would be solved, because in marriage, we know that it's the Lord's God places the responsibility of being a provider and a caretaker on the husband.
Right.
And he's to take care of his wife and the children. But when we don't do things God's way, it leads to problems. So like pregnancy at a difficult time, often people pursue getting abortions, sexually transmitted diseases. And, you know, science has discovered 141 different sexually transmitted diseases. Ooh. And that's a lot of diseases.
Yeah.
About 25 are pretty prevalent, but there are about 141. And the fact is, if a person keeps themselves sexually pure, basically they can avoid all 141.
That.
That's right.
Right.
So if we do things God's way, again, it blesses. It helps us.
Yes, sir. And I wanted to add this. If you are single, I want you to be strategic about not only loving God so that you do whatever it takes to remain pure, but you also create boundaries. There have been times I've been approached by a married man. I don't play that. And you better believe it just irks me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I give them scripture, that's sin. I don't play that. You need to repent before the Lord. Like,
that's
don't
right.
entertain things like that. Ladies and gentlemen, you understand? And one time, man, this man could have been my granddaddy, Pastor Parker. Do you hear me? And somebody may say that was disrespectful, what I said. This is what I told him. I said, dude, I don't have an aunt your age. Mm-hmm. I should have said grandmother. But anyway, but you make those boundaries, because your goal is to remain pure before the Lord until the Lord presents your spouse, if it's in his will. And I think that's another thing we have to look at. It may not be in his will, and you have to be okay with that. In order to get to that point, you got to love God with all of your heart, your mind, and soul.
And you know, again, it's a very real issue, but you know, the key is to understand this. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And again, it doesn't say how long you have to delight, but the key is stick with God. Again, the best life you can live is where you're running after God and seeking to do his will. But it's clear, according to Scripture, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not commit adultery. And in many places, the Word of God lets us know sex outside of marriage is sin. It's wrong 100% of the time.
Absolutely.
And it has troubled consequences in different regards. Sex is for married people. And I think a good picture, illustration, is that the sexual relationship is kind of like fire in a fireplace. For example, in a home during the cold winter, for when the fire is in the furnace or in the fireplace in a home, it provides warmth and blessing to the whole house. But sadly, if someone was to take a shovel full of coals out of the fire and sling them over the house, it'd burn that house down. Well, the sexual relationship within the context of marriage will bless the family and bless the home and bless the world. But when it gets out of place, it can cause destruction wherever it goes. Mm-hmm. And so we need to know and understand that, too. And I think of this, that it's so important to know, too, that God's not trying to curb our fun or curb our lifestyle, our ability to enjoy life. He's trying to give us the best life we can possibly have. So his will is good for us all. But it's good to understand this, too. Often, girls tend to think guys think like they do. And guys think girls think like they do. And that we're so different.
Completely.
And it's important to understand that. And so I think of this as a pastor. Over the years, some of the most heartbreaking stories come from people that they just don't understand what's going on, and they come up with their own rules for relationships rather than looking to the Word of God. And
Amen.
Victor, I think of this, that like often it's good to understand this. Often girls will play at sex in order to gain a stable relationship. And often guys will play at relationships in order to gain a sexual encounter. And time again, in this situation, it's the girls that get burned, sadly. And it's so important for us to understand that if we would just follow the counsel of God's word, nobody gets burned.
Amen.
And everybody gets blessed. And also, it's important to know, too, that sadly, and I'm talking about unredeemed humanity, but this is reality. If we do things God's way, things work and they come together as they should.
Yes.
But on the other hand, something that, for example, often young ladies may not realize is that many times when men can get their needs met outside of marriage, their motivation to get married greatly decreases. And it's important to understand that,
That's
too, you
true.
Know, because, you know, the ugly little saying, and it's an ugly saying, but it makes a point. It's the point, you know, the saying is, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
Wow, yeah.
Well, yeah. There's a truth behind that we need to understand. On the other hand, if we do things God's way, again, it increases a man's desire to get married because, again, he's not getting his needs met outside of the marriage bed. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that's not an excuse because there's no excuse for sin.
Right.
But the fact is, if we do things God's way, it helps everybody. It helps the guys and the girls as well. So following the Word of God is good for men. It's good for women. It's good for boys. It's good for girls. It's good for families. It's good for society. It's good for the whole wide world.
And I'm going to say this. John Piper, he's an amazing author. He says that people sin when they are unsatisfied with God. So if you are a believer of Jesus and you find yourself constantly in a sin, that's when you need to check your relationship with the Lord. You have become unsatisfied with him, and it's not God's fault. It's because you haven't done your part of getting into the Word. And I know people hear this all the time, but seriously, there are benefits. Like last week, the Lord had me to go back through all the Gospels and read from when Jesus was being crucified to resurrection. Man, I got this excitement. Like, you know, when somebody first gets saved, they're like on cloud 10. I found myself like I just gotten saved again. I was like, whoa, Jesus, you did this for me. So check yourself. If you find yourself falling in sin, it's because you've become unsatisfied with God. Get into God's word. Get into that prayer closet. Get away from that cell phone. Get off of social media. Do what you got to do to fall back in love with Jesus.
That is so true. So true. And so, again, you know, and I think of this, Victory, too, that it's so important for us to understand this, that obviously we have, like, for example, many people, men and women, desire to marry, and many times many will. But the reality is, when you think of this life in relation to eternity, remember, life is like a dot. Eternity is a line that goes on and on and on.
Wow,
eternity, I've heard it said that eternity is 1,000 years with the ends, both ends knocked out. It just keeps going and keeps going.
I like that.
But the fact is this. People, you know, if they're saved and they leave this, they die and leave this world and go to heaven, they're going to forget about, they're going to put behind them whether they were married or not, whether they were rich or poor,
that's true,
whether they, whatever color they were, whatever country they lived in, all that will be behind them. The important thing is they knew Jesus and they're spending eternity with the Lord.
Amen. Thank so the, Jesus.
To be so Ooh. Caught up in, well, I didn't get rich, I did get rich, I didn't get my Mercedes Benz, I did or didn't, did marry, didn't get married, did have children, didn't have children. The only thing that will really matter is, did you know Jesus?
Did you know him?
And you think of this, the people that lived 1,000 years ago, whether they were rich or poor, whatever they did or didn't do, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is, did they know Jesus? Mm-hmm. Did they know Jesus Christ? So, you know, as we kind of draw our time to close, I would just say this, that it's so important for us to understand that in all of life and in all of our relationships, our goal should be to honor God and to do things God's way. And, you know, we live in a culture where lots of people decide, well, they're just going to live together, not get married. And they say, well, it's just a piece of paper. Well, that's a lie
Christians.
From the devil. The
oh
fact
my
is,
goodness.
It's marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman, and it's mm-hmm. to glorify God, and it's also to reflect and show the world the relationship between Christ and his church.
Amen.
So it's not just a piece of paper. It's a very important institution. But, you know, Victor, there are a lot of folks that they're living together, and they go to church, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's good they go to church, because they can keep hearing the truth. But the fact is, God wants them to get it right. So the key is, listen to truth and apply it. Because there's great blessing on a relationship that's given to God and honoring God in the way it's carried out. And so let me say to those that are listening, there might be someone here who's never accepted, listening, that's never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Today is a good day to get saved. Before we end our time, I want to give you the chance to give your heart to Jesus if you've not done that. If you want to do that, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose from the dead so I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong, and I repent. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. And Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart, become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In the word you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Help me to live my whole life for you in the air of love and relationships and marriage as well. Help me to honor you in this part as well as every other part of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Victor, for joining us today. It's been a blessing to have you listening today as well, and hope you'll take time to go back and read through the scriptures that we shared. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.